Genesis chapter 2, and if you would, stand with me as we read our text. Genesis chapter 2, we'll read from verse 15 through verse 17. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Let's pray. Lord, again, I am grateful to be in thy house this morning. I am grateful, Lord, for all those who share my desire in being here. And Lord, we meet on purpose, primarily because we want to hear what your word has to say on every subject of life, for we know that you know best. Lord, left to our own devices and our own ways, we would surely go astray and make a mess of everything in our lives. And so we seek help, we seek guidance, we seek light from your word. And God, I pray that you'd give it this morning. I pray that the Spirit of God would say much more than I say, and I pray that your people would be convicted and comforted, whatever it is that they might need. Lord, help us to have a heart for the things that you want us to love and desire.
Amen.
And Lord, help us to truly hate and despise those things that you tell us to hate and despise.
Amen.
And may this message this morning help to accomplish that end. And I pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Again, in Genesis 2:17, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." The title of my message this morning is "Wanting What God Said You Cannot Have." The thought is this: do you desire the things that God says you cannot have? Do you reject or refuse the things that God says you're in need of? If so, I hope this message will change the desires of your heart. If not,
amen,
I hope this message will reinforce spiritual truths that you've already embraced and put into practice in your life. I want to look in this message at some individuals who took what God said they could not have and look at the terrible consequences of them doing so, and then try to apply all of this to our lives. Here in the book of Genesis, God made available to Adam and Eve many things.
Yes, right.
I mean, he gave to them, if you'll carefully read through the first two chapters of the book of Genesis, you will truly be in awe of all that God gave and made available to Adam and Eve. In chapter 1, in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image." That was a privilege in and of itself, was it not? "In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And then notice what God says to man. God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." God gave Adam and Eve a command here, a blessing also. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Have children." That's what he said to them. He created them in his own image, and then he said to them, "I want you to populate the entire earth." Now, in order to do that, they were going to have a big family, by the way.
Yeah,
all right?
Yes, sir.
So all you that are still of childbearing years, that's most of you, since I heard of a lady having children at the age of 63, so most of you are still able to have children. So be fruitful and multiply, amen? God wants us to populate this earth. I know the liberals want us to decrease the population and let them go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't think they should have any children.
Yeah.
And if we each have a dozen, then we'll overtake them.
Yes,
amen. We're thinking long term.
Yes, sir.
God said, have children. I want you to. And children, they are a gift from God, right? An heritage. They are a blessing from God. And so God says to Adam and Eve, you know what? I created you. Here you are. Have children. And by the way, the only negative part of having a child, at least to the woman, is that she has to endure the labor. Well, Eve, at this point in time, wouldn't have had to endure any pain or hardship. I don't know exactly how that all would have worked out, but it was only a part of the curse that brought sorrow and pain to childbearing. So God, He says, have children. He says also here in this verse, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He gave Adam and Eve, He gave mankind dominion. He gave them power. He gave them authority over this creation that He had just spoke into existence. He says, you have dominion over the fish. That's the animals that are in the sea. He says, you have dominion over the fowl. That's the animals that fly in the sky. And He says, you have dominion over every creature, every living thing that walks upon the earth. That gave man dominion over every living thing. God says, I give you all this power. I give you all this authority. He says in chapter 2 and in verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man whom He had formed. I don't know about you, but this is highly attractive to me.
Amen.
You know why? Because God planted the garden. I spent an hour or so yesterday just trying to get the tiller going. And that's the easy part. Because once it gets going, then I told Brother Moody I was going to set him on top of it to hold that thing down while I till the garden. Because it is not easy. You know, the first time I got that, and this is Brother Miller's tiller, I think I told Brother Moody that his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather gave it to him. It tells you how old it is. Hey, but it, you know, it works. But the first time I haven't tilled a garden in a while, and so I'm tilling away. And I'm thinking I probably need to get some gloves, but I didn't. I'm almost finished. I'll just finish the job. And I've never had blisters so bad in my entire life. I'm just saying that planting a garden is not easy. Sometimes I wonder why I even go through the effort of doing this. Sometimes my children wonder the same thing about some things we do. Because we're splitting and we're stacking wood yesterday, and one of the children say, Dad, is it really worth it? And I say, absolutely it's worth it.
Man.
We save thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah,
we've spent a little bit too, but I said, even beyond that, it's teaching you kids to work hard.
Amen.
I mean, Brother Miller, he's got the chickens in his yard. He's giving me chicken fever, by the way. Some people probably go back there with the chickens and, you know, catch a whiff of the chicken smell and want nothing to do with it. But man, it just floods my mind with memories. And I know it doesn't benefit you financially to raise chickens, all right? The eggs you get and the meat you get really isn't worth it. The chicken farmers have made an art of this thing, and they can mass produce these chickens and eggs a lot less expensively than we can. But you know, just to have those chickens and for children to grow up with them and learn, you know, what it's like to squeeze their heads off and to defeather them. And those are things, memories they'll take with them the rest of their lives. I told my kids, one day you'll be just like me and you'll be telling your kids how terrible you had it, how your dad kept you out till midnight splitting wood. And even though I only did that once or twice. I'm just saying that planting a garden is not an easy thing. God planted it for them. There wasn't any labor on Adam's part. He planted the garden, then He took man after it was fully planted and placed him there and said, all I want you to do is to keep it. That's the easy part. God gave to Adam and Eve. I'm just trying to lay some groundwork to help you to understand all that God gave them, all that God made available to them. Here in chapter 2 as well, It says in verse number 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow. He made it to grow. I think God is still the one that makes crops grow. We should thank God that crops grow, that the soil and the rain and the sunshine produces fruit so that we can eat. He made all of it to grow. And then it says in the middle here of verse number 9, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let me read that entire verse again so you can get the context here. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. God made all of these things to grow. And then it says, I'm looking for my verse, but it says that God told man that he was to eat of every tree, that he was able to eat of every tree, of every herb that the ground brought forth.
Yes, sir.
In chapter 1 of verse 29 it says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. That's the only thing that's not attractive to me in these chapters. Because God gave to them apple trees, and they said, he said, you can eat the apples. He gave them peach trees. He gave them pear trees, and they were able to eat the peaches and eat the pears, and they were able to eat the watermelons and the cantaloupes and the strawberries and the grapes and the raspberries, and there was no pizza or beef, though. Not yet. I prefer the antediluvian era after the flood. But I just want you to see how God had provided for them.
Right. Amen.
He said, look around you in this garden. Look at all the trees. Look at all the fruit. Look at all the berries. It's all yours. You can have all of it. I've made it all for you.
Amen.
Help yourself. And God, and it explains here that there were four different rivers that came out of that garden that watered the garden. Four rivers. Just think about the type of fruit that must have been produced in the Garden of Eden. It had to have been spectacular even compared to the fruit that the people of Israel carried out of the land of Canaan. And you'll remember that they had to carry that cluster of grapes on a pole between two men. Well, man, what must the cluster of grapes look like here in the Garden of Eden, having four rivers feeding into it, watering it? We kind of have an idea of what is probably meant by that, because in the book of Psalms it says that we, if we meditate in the Word of God day and night, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Amen.
We're going to grow bountifully. And this garden, I'm confident, grew bountifully. And everything that grew, they were able to eat of.
Mm-hmm.
God, it says in verse 15 of the chapter, gave Adam a job. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He gave him a job. Here we are in paradise. The Garden of Eden. Perfect circumstances. And man still had a job.
Amen.
Folks, we should never be afraid of work.
Amen.
In all labor there is profit. And I tell you what, lazy people absolutely get nothing done in this world. I'm telling you, you should work hard. And then depend on God.
Good preacher. Amen.
Work hard. You know, they often say to preachers, you need to prepare as though everything depends upon you and pray like everything depends upon God.
Amen.
You know, when it comes to this effort of evangelism, you know what? We need to evangelize like everything depends upon us.
Yeah.
But then we need to pray.
Good.
Like everything depends upon God.
Right.
I'm just highlighting God gave Adam a job.
Amen.
He gave him something to do. A purpose. And then as Brother Miller mentioned in the Sunday school class, it appears that God on a consistent basis came down and fellowshipped with Adam and Eve. In verse 8 of chapter 3, it says that of Adam and Eve, they heard a voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Verse 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Here Adam and Eve was in the midst of this garden with all this fruit that was accessible to them, with a job, procreating, having children, enjoying what God had made for them. And in addition to that, they got to fellowship with God. They had His physical presence, His audible voice, His tangible embrace. They had all of this. But there were some things they didn't have. Pain, sorrow, death, disease. Chapter 2 and verse 5, notice it says, the last part of the verse, "For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." The climate was much different. There were no storms. There was no rain, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, no volcano, at least no volcanic activity. None of those things. Peace, serenity, prosperity, pleasure. Do you see all the things that God made accessible and available to Adam and Eve? They had so much. And God said to them, there's one thing, just one thing, you can't have. And that's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if we were Adam, we'd say, well, I got all this, well, I don't need to worry about one tree. I mean, I got all this other fruit. I don't need the fruit of that tree. Just cut it down. I don't need it. I mean, I got the raspberries, and I've got the blackberries, and we get to make blackberry cobbler and peach preserves and apple butter, and I don't need the fruit from that tree. But the one thing that God said you can have, that's what they took.
Right.
We're not satisfied with everything that God has given us. We're not satisfied with the apples and the peaches. We're not satisfied with the blackberries. We want that one thing that God said we cannot have. That's what Adam and Eve did. But they weren't alone in this type of thing. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. I want you to notice, before we look at chapter number 6, some of the things that God wanted to give to the people of Israel. In chapter 1 and verse number 3, God says to the people of Israel, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." He said, you're going into the land of Canaan, and every place you step, I'm going to give to you. It's going to be your property. Everywhere. Everywhere you go, you will conquer your enemies and you will inherit their land. God says in verse 5 of this chapter, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Boy, as a soldier, I wish that God would tell me that type of thing. It disappoints me greatly that I'm too old to join the Marines because I'm so ready. As long as somebody gives me a gun and tells me who the bad guys are, that's all I want. Some people might think I'm crazy, but I'm there's a gentleman I work with. He's trying to get his daughter to go join up. And I said, you make sure you ask them what the age cutoff is because I'm interested in this thing. And I'm too old. It's terrible. Maybe I could forge a document and go. But you know, if I was a soldier and God said, you know what? You're going to get victory over every foe that you face. Well, I'm going to be a madman. I mean, I'm going to be like Sylvester Stallone. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to shoot him up and those bullets are going to be flying all around me and I know nothing's going to hurt me. I wish God would tell me such a thing. That's what He told the people of Israel. He says, your enemies, you're going to overcome them. You're going to get victory after victory after victory. He says in verse 9 of the chapter, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." He promised to be with them. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be present with you everywhere you go. He says in chapter 2 and in verses 9 through 11 that you are going to have the fear of all men in this land. Remember the words of Rahab? She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. You see, God here, it was going to cause the Jordan River to do like the Red Sea did, and part. And the people of Israel were going to walk across that river, and the inhabitants of this land were going to hear about that, and they were going to be scared to death. God said to Israel, every place you put your foot is going to belong to you. You're going to defeat every foe. I'm going to part the rivers of Jordan. The people are going to fear you. If we keep reading here in the book of Joshua, we see all kinds of things that God gave to them. When they went into the land and ate of the corn of that land, the manna ceased to fall. Why? Because now there was another means by which God was providing for His people, but He was always providing for them in the wilderness. Food fell from heaven! God gave them food from heaven. He caused the walls of Jericho, those huge walls, to fall down. He gave them victory over that strong city. But you know what? If you look at chapter 12 of the book of Joshua, it names one king after another, after another. It names one city after another, after another, that God gave the people of Israel victory over. It says that there was 31 in all. Look at all that God gave to them. But God kept one thing back. He said, when you go take Jericho, you don't get the spoil of that city. That gold I'm going to take and set it apart for the tabernacle, but you are not to touch the spoil. You can have the land everywhere that you place your feet. I will give you victory over every foe. People will be in fear of you. But there's one thing that I'm not going to give you, and that's the spoil of the city of Jericho. But old Achan walked into the camp after the battle was over, and he saw that Babylonian garment, he saw those pieces of silver, that wedge of gold, and he took what God said, you cannot have. He did the same thing that Adam and Eve did, but they weren't alone in their sin. We don't need to turn there. It wasn't too long ago that we went through the life of David. Mm-hmm. I think we're familiar with what God did and gave to David. He protected him from the rage of King Saul, took him from the prairie to the palace, gave him victory over a lion, a bear, a giant, and a host of others. God gave David favor in the eyes of the people. They loved and admired him. His enemies feared him. God gave him wives, riches, and much, much more. But there was something that was not permitted for David to take and have. And that was another man's wife. God gave him all these things, but he never gave him permission to take another man's wife. In 2 Samuel in chapter 12 and in verse number 7 it says, and Nathan said to David when he confronts him about his sin, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. God says to David, I would have given you, I gave you so much. I would have given you more. But there were some things that I kept from you. There were some things that you weren't permitted to take, like Bathsheba. I don't know the exact number of wives, concubines that David had, but I know it was more than a dozen. I know his son had 1,000. I'm sure David had probably quite a few more than a dozen. But he wasn't satisfied with that. And when he looked upon Bathsheba, who was bathing in the nude, even though God said, you can't have that, David said, that's what I want. David wanted what God said he couldn't have. Achan wanted what God said he couldn't have. Adam and Eve wanted what God said they could not have. And if I had the opportunity, I would like to ask these individuals a question. The question is this: was it worth it? David, was it worth it? Taking that which God said you couldn't have. Achan, was it worth it? Going after those things that God did not want you to desire. Adam and Eve, really, was it worth it when you had so much accessible for yourselves? Was it really worth it to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Was it worth it? What happened as a result of David's sin? It says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. That's what God said to David. And many of his sons would lose their lives as a result of his sin. God said, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house. And that's what happened with Absalom. David, was it worth it? The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. An innocent child lost his life because of David's sin. Was it really worth it? Because of Achan's sin, 36 men lost their lives when Israel went up against Ai. And while they didn't have anything to do with Achan's sin, his sin affected other people. And 36 soldiers fighting for Israel lost their lives because of Achan's sin. And not only that, when Achan's sin was known, he was brought forth before the people. So was his wife, so was his children, and they were stoned and burnt. So I say to Achan, was it worth it? Was it worth the lives of 36 men? Was it worth your own life? Was it worth the life of your wife and children? And what about Eve? What about Adam? I do not think it would be possible for me to exaggerate the consequences of their actions. Immediately, the serpent was cursed. The woman was cursed. Adam was cursed. The ground was cursed. All of mankind was cursed. But the long-term consequences were much more severe. Every evil thing in this world came about as a result of Eve's sin. Every sin that's ever been committed can be traced back to Adam and Eve's actions in the Garden of Eden. Every rape, every murder, every act of incest, every act of stealing is in part due to what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. All the greed, covetousness, anger, and cursing that we see in the world is there as a result of Adam and Eve taking what God said they could not have. And so again, I wonder in their minds if it was really worth it. But what about you? Let's apply this to our lives. Hasn't God given you a lot?
Amen. Amen.
Like Adam, you gentlemen, He's given you a wife. Like Eve, ladies, God has given most of you a husband. He's given you children, which are such a blessing.
Amen.
He's given you a job, and through that job, bountiful provision.
Yes, sir.
He allows and even enjoys fellowshipping with you on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
If you're walking with Him, He's given you peace He's given you victory.
Amen.
He's given you salvation.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants what is best for you. He loves you, and the only reason He ever keeps anything from you is because He knows it will not bring to you any good,
Amen.
Only harm. God has given you so much. But you know what? It is true that there are some things that God has said you cannot have. Do you want the things that God says you cannot have? Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. God and worldly riches. Do you, above all things, desire earthly wealth? God says you can't have it. I realize sometimes God gives it to people. But He doesn't want you to seek it, nor search for it, nor desire it. God says you cannot enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's off limits. God says you can't have another man's wife. He says you can't have another woman's husband. You can't have it! There have been those that have been critical of me because I preach too much about immorality. Well, I tell you what, folks, this week, my wife was talking with someone who, in my mind, was serving the Lord faithfully for decades, married for 4 decades, and then took what God said they could not have. And it's destroyed a family. It's destroyed a testimony. It's grieved God. And if it can happen to that man, it can happen to any one of you. But let me say to you, there are some things that God says you cannot have. And you ladies, there are some things God says you cannot have. And you know what? Someone you're not married to is off limits. And you can go and take that which God says you cannot have, and you will find out the consequences for it. Just like Eve did, just like Achan did, just like David did. It may take a little bit of time, but I'm telling you, your sin will find you out.
Yes, sir.
Stay away from that stuff. God has given you enough. Enjoy what He's given you.
Yes, yes.
Be satisfied with it. As we said a couple of weeks ago, don't go in search of greener pastures, because once you've done so, you'll wish you can come back.
Amen.
Don't go after the things that God says you cannot have. You young people, God says you cannot have sex before marriage. You can't.
That's right.
I realize as I say that, you can choose to go after it. But God says no!
Amen.
And you can ignore Him. And you can ignore your preacher. And you can ignore your God and ignore your dad. But you'll regret it.
Yeah, right.
Yes, sir.
You'll regret it. God says liquor is off limits.
Amen. Yes.
You can't have it. You can't have drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Illegal drugs. It's wrong. And you can go in search of those things, and you can experiment with those things, and you can think it won't hurt you, but it will.
Yeah.
Do you want, let me kind of turn this around for a moment, do you want the things that God says you need? Yes, do you desire the things that God says you cannot have? That's wrong. But you know what? It's just as wrong not to want what God says
right.
You need.
Good. Amen.
Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things they shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. I was thinking about that verse yesterday. I was thinking about, wouldn't it be nice just to start from scratch? Just start from the beginning. I was thinking to myself, I'd just quit everything. I'd sit out in the middle of the field and say, God, where do you want me to start?
Mm-hmm.
And He'd say, seek me.
Yeah.
All right, how do I do that? Prayer,
yes.
Reading my Bible. Okay, that's first. We're going to do that first every day.
Good. Amen.
Okay, Lord, I did that. Now what should I do? How about some evangelism? All right, I'm going to evangelize. That's important. God's going to say, okay, you need to go work for a little while so that you can provide for the needs of your family. All right, I'll go work for a little while. And just put everything in their proper order, in their proper place.
Yes.
Do you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you desire the word? Do you desire to read it? Jesus said of Mary, she hath chosen that good part. She hath chosen that one thing that was needful, which was sitting at His feet. Do you want what God says you need, like the assembling of yourselves together?
Amen.
Do you want those things? I hope so.
Yes,
you know, if you find your desires all mixed up, you better start walking towards God.
Yes.
You better start seeking Him. It starts with just one step. You better say, God, boy, break my heart. Break my heart. I tell you, if you ever find yourself growing apathetic to the things of Christ and the things of the world begin to attract your attention, you better pray and say, God, please change my heart.
Amen.
He changed your heart to save you, and He can change your heart
yes.
to serve Him. Do you want Jesus? God says that's what you need. Especially if you're lost. If you're lost and you're not saved, God says, you need Jesus.
Yes.
And some people say, I don't want Jesus. And they walk away. And they too regret it. I had intended on expounding upon this, but due to time.
That's all right.
Studying time, not preaching time. I know, Brother Miller, I can preach as long as I want. Studying time limits my preaching, not the clock.
Amen.
Maybe we'll expound upon that at a later time.
Amen.
But again, the title of the message, the thought of the message, do you want the things that God says you cannot have? Don't.
Amen.
Learn from history.
Good for you. Amen.
The history that's recorded in this book.
Yes.
Learn from it. Learn from other people's mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes, because if your actions mirror their actions, the same thing's going to happen to you.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, people don't learn well from history.
Mm-hmm.
And those that don't are doomed to make the same mistakes of history.
Yeah, right.
Don't do it. Want what God wants you to want. Flee from the things that God says are off limits.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you'll do that, you'll find that your life will truly be filled with joy. But if you don't listen to the counsel, the instruction of the Word of God, you'll find that your life is only filled with strife. Do you want the things that God says you cannot have? If so, you need to pray. Get your heart right with God. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the lessons that we can learn from these Old Testament saints. Lord, help us not to repeat the mistakes of Adam and Eve and Achan and David and many others. Help us, Lord, to not desire the things that You have said we cannot have. Help us to be content and satisfied with what You have given us. Because, Lord, it truly has been bountiful. And so, God, take the words, take the message this morning and use it in the hearts and lives of Your people. Help them, strengthen them, encourage them with it, I pray. And, Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, may they come to Christ today. May they no longer refuse the salvation that You so freely offer them, but may they, from a believing heart, call upon Thee and ask You to save them. So work now in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.